Romans 15, I'm going to read verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 7. There are many scriptures that teach us of hope. The sermon tonight's a little different. The introduction's going to be a little lengthy, so I need you to listen to me. But there are many scriptures that teach us of hope. I could read Romans 5, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope. Then Romans 5, verse 4, impatience, experience, and experience, hope. Romans 5, 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. Then there's Romans 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I'd like you to take your Bible and go to Proverbs chapter 13 while I just read a few more verses on hope. You're going to Proverbs. Now go to the middle of your Bible in Proverbs, verse number chapter 13. I'll tell you the verse in a second. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. When I think of hope in the Bible, this passage always comes to my mind, 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity. Now that tells me this, three attributes of the Christian, three qualities of us that make us what we are, faith, hope, and charity, and I know charity is the greatest. Love in action, charity is the greatest, but faith and hope are great also. God says the top three things that we should be focusing on is our faith, our hope, and our charity. Hope, you're in Proverbs 13, just a second. Hope is always has something good associated with it. It looks forward with an expectation of something that's good. It always includes a desire for something good. It is a confidence of good in the future. Proverbs 13, verse 12, we could call this a famous verse, many quote it, but hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. So God says in the Bible, this quality of ours, faith, hope, and charity, when our hope is deferred, it can make our mind sick. In the Bible, the biblical heart is the mind. So when your hope is deferred, your beating heart doesn't get sick. It's your mind that gets sick. All right? When my hope and my expectation of something that's good doesn't happen within my timing, it causes my mind to get sick. Like what? Anxiety. It causes my mind, it can cause anger. It can cause frustration. It can cause depression. When I long for something and it's deferred and it's put off, and it's good, it's something that's good, when it is put off, it makes my mind sick and it can affect all of us that way. For instance, when a man loses his job and his ability to provide for his family, and every lady needs to know one of the greatest pressures on a man is provision. It is provision. But he loses his income and he hopes for something in the future. He hopes for a job. That is him expecting something in the future that's good. The longer though he goes without a job, as he tries and works to get one, the more pressure and anxiety comes into his mind. You say, why? Because hope deferred or put off postponed maketh the heart what? Sick. It makes the heart sick. If someone is thinking about getting married, every man knows whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Every man knows that verse, especially the single people, okay? He whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And while I don't care if it's a single guy looking for a lady, or if it's a lady hoping to get married, that hope, it's for a good thing. It's for a good thing. But the longer there is hope for that, and the longer it's delayed and deferred, the more the man or the lady gets stressed out. I've watched some people get under such anxiety in looking for a spouse that sometimes they'll go ahead and out of the anxiety and the pressure make the wrong decision. Because, you know, every 18-year-old girl always says, if I don't get married this year, I'm going to, you know, be an old hag, you know, and never get married. And then I'm dealing with the teenagers. They start thinking, well, I got to get married by the time I'm 18, you know, and then they'll grab anything with pants on. And that's what you don't want. That's what you don't want. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. I know sometimes I hear stories when a church is looking for a bigger building and a different piece of property. The more that hope and the vision is deferred and delayed, that concept of a bigger building because there's an expectation of some relief with the things they're struggling with, seating, parking, nurseries, restrooms, all of that. When the hope is deferred long enough, it produces anxiousness and doubt, and it can make any pastor stay up all night because the people are depending on him for leadership. And each member comes to him and says, when are we going to do this? How are we going to do this, preacher? How are we going to do this? And it's like, I know Brother Connors, they're dealing with a building expansion program. And he told me it's the hardest thing in his life he's ever been through. He said nothing causes him to stay awake more at night. And they are. They're going through a building process. The hope is good, but the expectation is delayed. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Maybe there's someone you've been praying for to get saved. That's a good expectation. But years go by, and it's deferred, and deferred, and deferred, and delayed. Then your heart and mind start wondering if it's ever really going to happen. And what causes anxiety is, you know, if they don't get saved, then the end result is what? Hell. And it causes anxiety or a sickness of the mind. Some have seen some family members saved, and still others that they have been praying for years. Hope can fade if it is delayed long enough. So hope deals with promises and expectations that are good in the future. When you pray for the health of someone who's sick, you pray for their healing because you love them and you hope they can feel better. But the longer your expectation of their relief is delayed, the more anxious we become. Praise the Lord, Brother Dorsey, we're praying for him, and he's going to get through this, amen. But what, you know, when you pray for somebody with cancer, and the chemo is not taking hold, and they're getting worse, but we're still praying, what, for some relief for them, and that they could feel better, and the hope, when it's deferred or delayed, the heart or the mind is made sick. If you look at Proverbs 13, verse 12, I'm going to keep you there a while. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Sick is anxious, anxiety. I have written down mental gymnastics. It's where you're up and then you're down. You're discouraged, depressed. You get excited, and then you get oppressed. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And then if you look at the next part of the verse, it says, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. So when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. The tree of life is mentioned 10 times in the Bible. And the tree of life represents momentum. And when it comes back, there's motivation again. The tree of life has a lot to do with things that are positive. So when hope is deferred, it can cause us to lose our motivation in life and our momentum in life. And you say, that should never happen. If you're a child of God, that should never happen. You should always be positive. Now, we're human. We're human. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, I find here in this verse, hope and desire are the same thing. So hope, when you look up the definition of the word hope, it means a desire of something that brings joy. We have some desires and hopes, and they're not all lustful or wrong. When someone desires to build a business for God, there is nothing wrong with that. When someone desires to serve the Lord as a Sunday school teacher, as an usher, they want to sing, they want to be in the bus ministry. All those are good desires. I want to serve the Lord that way. It's a good hope. But when that hope is deferred, then we start doubting if God ever spoke to us. God gives us good desires, but when they're delayed, our mind gets sick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Now, many times a deferred hope keeps us from going to the next hope. You see, a sick heart, or, and I'm saying this right, a sick mind thinks, why should I try? The last one didn't work out to allow my heart to hope and desires to just set myself up for failure. You see, some of us, there's some of you, you're realists and you're negative. And I really wish you would understand that about yourself. You're prone to see the negative. There's other people, they're visionary. And they're positive. And there's nothing wrong with that. All of us are different. Aren't we glad? Aren't we glad? However, you take somebody that's visionary and positive, and boy, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. Sometimes those that are visionary can also get depressed. Because they, this is going to, oh, it didn't happen. And then, oh. And then sometimes they get depressed and they quit trying. That's how it affects us. For instance, there's probably a lady that's praying for her marriage to get better, and she hopes it will. She says, I just want my marriage to get better. And the longer he doesn't change, the more sick her mind becomes. Well, I guess I'm just going to exist with this guy. She's tempted to give up on the hope of him changing. You say, who are you talking about? Did you know all ladies pray that? They want their marriage to get better. My wife's been praying for our marriage to get better for a long time. I'm not being unfaithful to her, but you know what she hopes? She hopes that I'm more romantic and more affectionate. Every wife wants that. Now you ask her in public, how's your husband? She'll tell, oh, he's super. See, that's in front of the curtain. But behind the curtain, she's like, come on. Right? Did you know every wife wants their husband to be more affectionate? Every wife prays for their husband to be more romantic. Did you know that? And when it's deferred, it's a good thing. And when it's deferred, and when he doesn't change, the mind starts getting sick. The mind starts, the anxiety, sometimes, it's all right to say, the depression. Maybe your hope is about tense family relations. You hope that they get better. Come on, honey, let's put on our happy face. It's Christmas. Guess who's coming over? And you know, and that's a good thing. You can hope that the relationship gets better. But they just have a reputation of when they enter the house, the lights dim. And there goes the spirit. But you hope. It's something that we hope gets fixed. But the longer it's delayed, the more sick our hearts become. If I were to ask you tonight, what do you hope for? What's your desire? You personally. What is something that is good, that God is in it, that you hope happens in the future? What is a longing that you have? What is a hope that you have? What's a personal hope? You see, God is sovereign, and when we hope for something, we realize we can't push God's hand. God gives us the dream, and then also it is God's timing that makes it happen. Take your Bible and let's illustrate this. Go to Acts chapter 7. Go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And look at verse number 22. Acts chapter 7. You say, what are you driving home? Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Look at Acts chapter 7 and look at verse number 22. Ready? And I'll give you a few words here to maybe mark and go back and look at later. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, if you'll underline the word it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. What was it? It was hope. When he turned 40, he'd been raised an Egyptian. He was the Pharaoh's daughter finds him, and his parents hide him. They see him, he's a proper child, and they hide him. And Pharaoh takes him, so for 40 years he's raised an Egyptian. And he is mighty. That means he's taught Egyptian. He's taught how the architecture, the leadership. He's mighty in word and deed. And by the time he's 40, he comes to of age, and it says God, it came into his heart. He gets a hope. That you say, what is that hope? If I look verse number 25, Acts 7:25, here's the hope. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God, by his hand, would deliver them, but they understood not. That's the hope. God shows him at age 40, I'm going to use you to deliver my people from slavery. And so it comes into his heart, but he dresses like an Egyptian, and when he flees to Midian and defends Jethro's daughters, they say an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds. You say, where are you going with this? How would the Jews know that Moses was the deliverer? So Moses gets anxious and he decides, well, I'll show them that God's chose me to deliver them. And he sees an Egyptian mistreating one of the Jews, and he goes down and he kills him. Then he hides the body and he says, that'll show them that I'm going to deliver them from the Egyptians. And then look what happens. Look there at verse number 26. And the next day, this is the day after he killed the Egyptian. He killed the Egyptian there in verse number 24. But in verse 26 it says, and the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again. So two Jews now are fighting. And he said, sirs, ye are brethren. Why do you wrong one to the other? To another. But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him, Moses, away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? You see, God put that vision and that hope in Moses' heart, but I like that statement. The Jews hadn't got the memo yet. That this is your deliverer. So they push him away and they go, ah, and then look at the next verse there. It says, wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Thou then fled Moses at this saying and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. So at 40, Moses flees to Midian for 40 more years until he's 80. It, the hope, came into his heart at age 40, but it is deferred for the next 40 years or one third of his life. God delays the dream or the hope or the expectation for 40 years. If you think God is passing you by, God's timing is not always our timing. When hope is deferred, there is always a process. Moses' hope is delayed while he watches sheep. Yes, Pharaoh had to die. Pharaoh wanted to kill him. Since he killed an Egyptian, Pharaoh, he finds out. That Pharaoh that wanted Moses dead, yes, he did have to die. But there was something else that needed to take place. There was a process. You take your Bible now and go to Exodus chapter 2. Go to the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus. Go to Exodus chapter 2 and watch this. Moses didn't know what God was doing while his hope was being deferred for 40 years. But keep in mind, God is always working, even when you don't see Him working. It's very important that you understand that. Exodus chapter 2, look at verse 11. Watch this. Exodus chapter 2, and look at verse number 11. Why was there a process? Watch this. And it came to pass in those days that when Moses was grown, he's 40 years old, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian spying a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. So there is an aggressive... He slays the man with his own hands. He didn't have a gun. They hadn't invented gunpowder yet, right? Right? I don't know if he had a knife. I don't know if he did the chokehold. I don't know if he did the sleeper. And then, I don't know what he did. Okay? But I know when they were training us in the Marine Corps to do hand-to-hand combat and take out a sentry, that is a hard job. When they train you to kill with your bare hands, Moses did that here. He looked this way and that way, and then he took him out. Moses was aggressive. He had an aggressive physical struggle. And then it says, look at verse 15, now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Then, look down at verse number 19, and they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he, and what is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell. Now listen closely. So Moses becomes the shepherd of Jethro's flock. He watches sheep for 40 years on Mount Sinai. And you'll find that out, because God tells him 40 years later, when he appears to Moses, he said, I'm going to bring you back to this mountain. This same mountain that Moses had led sheep on for 40 years. Get over here. And you can't tell me Moses was at between the age of 40 and 80. Moses wasn't there with a staff in his hand going, what in the world am I doing up here? Because keep in mind, he used to be an Egyptian that was mighty in word and deed, and now he's watching sheep. And he had the hope in his heart that God was going to use him to deliver these people, but it hasn't happened yet. So he's watching. Look at Exodus chapter 2, look at verse 23, and it came to pass in process of time. Because time, to God, time is a process. And we think sometimes it's a waste of time, but to God, time is a process. When our hope is deferred, God is molding us and shaping us for the future. Yes, the Pharaoh had to die, but God had to make Moses. God is going to bring it to pass. We know that because we have hindsight and we're using Moses for an illustration. But your dream, for it to take place, guess what? You need to change. The hope is going to eventually come, but God needs to work on you. God is always working in our future, but He's changing us to fit what He is preparing for us. God was going to move Moses to pastor the church in the wilderness, but Moses wasn't ready. Moses needed 40 years of shaping. At the right time, the bush burned. He who used to be mighty in words and deeds is now a shepherd. And God spends the first 40 years allowing Moses to gain the rough material of leadership. Then God spends the next 40 years breaking Moses so God can use him. So how old is Moses when he has his first encounter with God? Look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now it, the hope that was put in Moses' heart, that vision came into his heart when he was 40. But now at age 80, God meets with him for the first time. Did you ever think about that? God is meeting with Moses at age 80 for the first time. Now he sees the bush is burning. Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. You say, with two-thirds of his life gone, He's now 80 years old. Some people might say, man, what a waste of time. But if you understand what God did in 40 years, take your Bible now and go to Numbers chapter 12. Go to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. Look at Numbers chapter 12. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And look at chapter 12 and look at verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Numbers 12:3. So now in your Bible, you go from a murderer to the number one meek guy on the earth. There is nobody like Moses. Now at this time, God says in the Bible, he is the meekest man on the face of the earth. You say, what's meekness? Meekness is soft, gentle, patient, long-suffering, not easily irritated. You see, humility is when you are in the sight of God as nothing. That's humility. Meekness is when you look at everybody this way as level. I don't look down to you. I don't look up to you. I am meek. That's meekness. It means I see everybody on the same level with me. Humility is when that is a trait that you express before God. Meekness is something that you express to each other. To pastor, meekness is not weakness. Our Lord, the Bible says, was meek and lowly. Meekness is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Meekness is all through the Bible. To pastor the church in the wilderness took a lot of patience. Think about it. God was manifesting Himself in the desert so many ways with so many miracles. Water to for 3 million people and the livestock to get a drink flows from a rock. Then a pillar of fire happens by night to keep them warm. Then a pillar of cloud happens by day to protect them from the desert sun. Manna drops every morning for 40 years. Quail, ready to eat, drops every evening for 40 years. That's how he fed them. You go out and collect your manna, then you go out and in the evening you want meat to eat, you get to collect the quail. That's absolutely amazing. God's doing this miracles, taking care of them, protecting them every day, and 3 million Jews still, there's times when they want to go back to Egypt and be returned to slavery. And there's times they show up at Moses' tent saying, we're going to stone you. We're going to kill you. I'd say he had it pretty rough. Can you imagine if he would have delivered the people when he was 40? And then they show up at his tent to kill him? I think he's going, well, bring it. He was like, looks to me like 10 Jews are going to die today. It took, God had to take 40 years and turn him from a murderer, somebody with an anger problem, and somebody who was not meek, and God takes 40 years to make a pastor. Because it took a lot of patience to deal with those Jews. Some people would say, my goodness, what a waste of time, 40 years? Nah. I think it's an amazing shaping of a man's life to get him ready for what God put into his heart. Pastoring this church took a lot of patience. When hope was deferred, when the hope was deferred in Moses' heart, it was not a waste of time. As a matter of fact, it was saving time. Hope deferred is God's process time. Hope deferred has messed, I know this, it's messed with my mind as a pastor at times. There's things I want to happen now. And I know God wants it. But it's not God's timing. And if I'm not careful, boy, I want to make it work. I want to make it happen. But God says, I'll make it happen in my time. You let go and you let me. Let go. And don't you pragmatize and scheme and plan. Back off and pray. Drop to your knees. Hitch it. Talk to me about it. But don't you force it. I deal with that. I deal with that. God puts a dream in my heart, and then the hope is deferred. then my mind starts getting sick. So here's the way we normally would interpret this. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. We would normally say, okay, well, then Lord, help it, the hope, the desire to come quicker. Lord, save so-and-so sooner. Lord, give healing to this person sooner and quicker. Lord, give a job. Give me a job quicker. Lord, give me a wife quicker. Lord, give me a husband quicker. And we take hope deferred, make the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life, and we think, okay, if I'm going to get sick, then Lord, give it to me before I get sick. That's the way we pray. That's how you look at it. That's the way I've heard it preached. I don't have a problem with that. However, I want to give you another way of looking at it. Would you take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 15? This is the last place we'll go to tonight. Romans chapter 15. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But God says it's my timing and it's my process. God says, I'm not done with your future yet, and I am not done making you ready for the future I have prepared for you. Look at Romans 15:13. Ready? I hope you mark this in your Bible and look at it, but watch this. Now the God of hope, what a verse. The God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hope is expectations of something good. Hope is desire of something good to happen in the future. Hope is confidence in something in the future that's coming. I know God can increase our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more you read the Bible, the more you hear the Bible read, the more your faith or your trust in God increases. I know God increases charity, because God says He wants our charity or our love in action to abound. But what about hope? Here, God says, I can cause your hope to abound to take away your anxiety and your heart sickness while you wait for what I've placed in your heart. So instead of saying, Lord, help my desire come quicker, so I don't get sick, God says, why don't I give you more hope? So your mind doesn't get sick with anxiety and depression and frustration and anger while you wait. While I make you. While I work on you. So we can take you from being like Moses, from the murderer, to number one meek guy. Number one meek guy. Mr. Patient, Mr. Soft, Mr. Not Easily Irritated. He had a process to be taken through. Here God says, instead of praying for it to come quicker, you could ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit of God to give you more hope, so that while you're waiting, your mind doesn't get sick and you can abound in hope or expectation of the future. You see, if church members have more hope, then they don't fuss among themselves. Because they have hope. They have hope. Did you know when a married couple has more hope, they don't fuss at each other as much because they're more patient. They're less easily irritated. They have more hope. So how do I get more hope? You could pray that your hope abounds in the Holy Ghost. And if you'd let God fill you, guess what one of the things He'll give you is? Hope. What's that? An expectation for the future. This evening's message is on hope, and I wanted to ask you at the end of the message, your hope's very important. Because when you lose hope, your mind gets sick. You start getting frustrated. You start getting angry, sometimes depressed. So if I asked you a question tonight, Christian, how's your hope? Is it healthy? And if you've lost hope, then could I encourage you to pray and yield to the Holy Spirit of God and let God fill you and let your hope abound. Because when you lose hope, your mind gets sick. Hope deferred or delayed maketh the heart or the mind sick. What is the answer? Romans 15:13. God says, I can give you more hope. You don't have to be frustrated and angry and depressed. Let's pray. Father, please, I pray that you could use the message tonight. And Lord, I realize it's the choice of each person.